We continue now with the life and revelations of St. Gertrude and a prayer in honor of Mary. At Compline, as the Salve Regina was chanted, St. Gertrude grieved before God that she had never served his mother with the veneration due to her, and she offered this antiphon through the heart of Jesus to supply for her defects. And our Lord supplied for her deficiencies by little tubes of gold which passed from his heart to the heart of his Virgin Mother, and through which he poured forth on her the tenderness of his filial affection. We may also supply for our negligences by the following prayer, or any similar one. O sweetest Jesus, I beseech thee, by the love which caused thee to take flesh in the bosom of this most pure Virgin, that thou wouldst supply for our defects in the service and honor of this most benign Mother, who is ever ready to assist us with maternal tenderness in all our necessities. Offer her, O sweetest Jesus, the superabundant beatitude of thy sweetest heart. Show her thy divine predilection, which chose her from all eternity, before all creatures, to be thy mother, adorning her with every grace and virtue. Remind her of all the tenderness thou didst manifest to her when on earth, thy filial obedience to her in all things, and above all thy care at the hour of thy death, when thou didst forget thine own anguish to solace hers, and didst provide her with a son. Remind her also of the joys and glory of her assumption, when she was exalted above all the choirs of angels, and constituted Queen of heaven and earth. Thus, O good Jesus, do thou make thy mother propitious to us, that she may be our advocate and protector in life and in death. At the words Ea Ergo, as St. Gertrude invoked this most benign mother, she saw her inclining towards her, as if drawn by cords, by which she understood that when we invoke her devoutly as our advocate, her maternal tenderness is so moved that she cannot fail to assist us. At the words Illas Tuus Misericordis Oculis, the Blessed Virgin inclined the eyes of her Son toward the earth, saying, These are my beautiful eyes, which I incline towards all who invoke me devoutly, and from them they obtain the fruit of eternal salvation. Then the saint was taught by our Lord to salute his Blessed Mother, at least daily, by the words Ea Ergo and Advocata Nostra, assuring her that she would obtain great consolation thereby at the hour of her death. St. Gertrude then offered Our Lady 150 Ave Marias, beseeching her to assist her at the hour of her death by her maternal tenderness. And each word which she repeated appeared like a piece of gold which Our Lord offered to his mother, who used them for the help and consolation of the saint at the hour of her death. Thus she knew that when we recommend our end to any saint, the prayers which are offered to them are presented before the tribunal of the judge, and the saint to whom we have recommended ourselves is appointed our advocate. Chapter 53, For the Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross. Of the exaltation of the cross, of the love of enemies, of the observance of the regular fast, of the true relics of Jesus Christ. A footnote. The feast is September 14th. This festival, it will be remembered, was first instituted to celebrate the finding of the cross by St. Helen after the miraculous vision of Constantine. It was kept at Jerusalem from the year 335, and by both the Greeks and Latins as early as the 5th century under the same title. But since the 8th century, the feast of the discovery or invention of the cross has been transferred to May 3rd, and this day appointed for the commemoration of the recovery of this most venerable and ever-blessed relic from the Persians. On the Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross, as St. Gertrude prostrated to reverence the relics, our Lord said to her, Consider how I hung upon the cross from sext to vespers, and that it is for this I am elevated to such sublime glory, and understand thereby what benefits I will confer on the hearts of those in whom I have reposed for many years. She replied, Alas, Lord, how little pleasure thou canst have had in my heart. He answered, And what pleasure had I in the wood of the cross? I only honored it because I will to honor it, and so I reward those whom I will to reward. During Mass, our Lord gave her this instruction, Consider the example I give to my elect in honoring this cross, and know that I honored the instruments of my passion, which caused me suffering, more than those things which in my infancy were used for my convenience. If you desire to imitate my example, and to give me glory and further your own salvation, you will love your enemies more than your friends, and this will advance you marvelously in perfection. Furthermore, if you neglect to do this at first, but afterwards repent and overwhelm your enemies with benefits, you will follow my example in having concealed my cross for a time, to exalt it triumphantly afterwards. But the reason I so specially love this cross was that I obtained thereby the redemption of mankind, which I so ardently desired, even as devout persons love the times and places where they have received special favors from God. As the saint ardently desired to have some relics of the wood of the cross, that our Lord might look on her with more love, he said to her, If you desire to have relics which will draw my heart into yours, read my passion, and meditate attentively on every word contained therein, and it will be to you a true relic which will merit more graces for you than any other. And if you are not persuaded of this by my inspirations, at least let your reason convince you of it. For when a friend wishes to renew his friendship with his friend, he says, Remember what you felt in your heart when I said such and such a word. As if he would say, Remember what I did or said for you at such a time. And thence you may know and be assured that the words which I uttered when on earth are the most precious relics which you can possess. As she asked our Lord to enable her to keep the regular fast of 6 months, which commences on this day, he replied, Whoever observes a regular fast from zeal for religious observance, and purely for my love, and who seeks therein not his own advantage but mine, I will accept it from him, though I have no need of his goods, as an emperor would accept the offer of a prince to furnish his table daily with every necessary. But if obedience and necessity obliges him to relax his fast against his will, and he submits in union with the humility with which I submitted to men when on earth for the glory of my Father, I will treat him as a friend, would his dearest friend, whom he had invited to his table. On another occasion, on the same festival, when St. Gertrude offered the annoyances which the community had suffered to our Lord, he replied, I have drunk this chalice, which the fervor of your devotion has sweetened for me, and I will drink it as often as you offer it to me, until, by inebriating me with it, you render me favorable to your desires. But how, O Lord Jesus, can we give you this chalice to drink? She inquired. Then our Lord taught her that she could do this by reflecting on her unworthiness, by praising him from the depth of her heart, by repenting sincerely for never having loved God as she ought, and by desiring to suffer for him until the last moment of her life, even such sufferings as he had endured in his divine heart, were it possible, and this he would accept as a chalice of the sweetest nectar. Those who desire to make a similar offering can do so by saying the following prayer, O vivifying fount of sweetness, O aromatic sweetness of divine delights, O delicious inebriation of all pleasure, behold, I offer thee, as far as I am able, a drop from my miserable indigence. I grieve, and I will ever grieve, that my soul has so long fasted by abstaining from that celestial food which never satiates. But now, O Creator and Recreator of my substance, to whom nothing is impossible for thy glory, so make my heart one with thine, that I may truly say that I desire with my whole soul to suffer all that has been suffered by any human being, from the creation of the world until now, if I might thereby prepare an abode worthy of thee within me, and satisfy thy justice for all the opposition which I have offered to thy inspiration and graces. Chapter 54, For the Feast of Saint Michael. Of the faithful care which the angels have of us, and how we should honor them. As the Feast of Saint Michael, September 29th, approached, Saint Gertrude prepared herself for Holy Communion by meditating on the care which the angels had of her by the divine command, notwithstanding her unworthiness. And as she desired to render some return to them, she offered in their honor the life-giving body and blood of Jesus in the most holy sacrament, saying, I offer thee this most august sacrament, O most loving Lord, for thy eternal glory, in honor of the princes of thy kingdom, and for the increase of their felicity and beatitude. Then our Lord drew this oblation to himself in an ineffable manner, thereby causing the greatest joy to these angel spirits, who appeared even as if they had never before experienced such blessedness and superabounded in delights. Then each of the choirs of angels, according to their rank, inclined respectfully before Saint Gertrude, saying, Thou hast indeed honored us by this oblation, and we will therefore guard thee with special care. The guardian angels adding, We will guard thee night and day with ineffable joy, and will prepare thee for thy spouse with the utmost vigilance. Then, as she returned thanks to God for this favor with great jubilation of spirit, she recognized her own angel guardian, and he appeared to her as a prince magnificently attired, standing between her soul and God, and endeavoring to unite and elevate her soul to God. She then offered some special devotion in his honor, which he presented to the ever-blessed Trinity under the form of roses. The archangels now saluted the saint, saying to her, O illustrious spouse of Christ, we will discover to you the divine secrets, according to your capacity of receiving them. The virtues then said, We will assist you in your labors, writings, and meditations for the glory of God. The dominations said, Since our Lord, the King of Glory, takes pleasure in your soul, and that you return him love for love, we will offer for you the honor which you owe to his sovereignty to supply for your deficiencies. The principalities next addressed her, saying, We will present you to the King of Kings, adorned according to his heart. The powers added, Since your beloved is so blessedly united to you, we will continually remove every impediment, whether exterior or interior, which might interrupt his divine communications, in imparting blessings to the church and rejoicing the heavenly court. For the prayers of one loving soul prevail more with God, both for the living and the dead, than the prayers of 1,000 souls who love less. Then Saint Gertrude returned profound thanks to God for all these favors, and for many others which human frailty prevents us from relating, but all are known to God. Chapter 55, For the Feast of the 11,000 Virgins. Of the fruits of thanksgiving, that God requires us to fructify his gifts, and of the response Regnum Mundi. A footnote. Saint Ursula and her companions, martyrs, feast is October 21st. It is believed that these holy martyrs came originally from Britain, and that Saint Ursula was their conductor. There's been some question as to the correctness of the number, but modern researches, in this as in many other instances, are tending to confirm the truth of ancient traditions, though it is probable that the martyrs were not all virgins. Saint Ursula was not the foundress of the order which bears her name. The humility of Saint Angela, who instituted the congregation, and a vision of Saint Ursula, who encouraged her holy undertaking, led her to conceal her imputed share in this great work under the mantle of another. One almost regrets that the name of the Angelines had not been given to an order to which it would have been so singularly appropriate as the Guardians of Youth. As the words Ecce Sponsus Venit were chanted at the office of the 11,000 virgins, St. Gertrude was deeply moved and said to our Lord, O most desirable spouse, as I hear these words so frequently repeated, tell me how thou wilt come and what thou wilt bring us. He replied, I will now work with you and in you. Where is your lamp? She replied, Behold, Lord, I will give thee my heart for a lamp. He answered, I will fill it abundantly with oil, that is, with grace from my heart. She replied, But where is the wick to light it? Our Lord replied, Your pure intention of doing everything for me alone will be a wick, the light of which will be most pleasing to me. At the response, Veris Pudicitae, and at the words Spes et Corona Virginium, St. Gertrude returned thanks to God for those virgins whom she beheld standing before his throne. And he cast as many rays of glory on them as she had made thanksgivings for them, which were then reflected upon her. By this she understood that those who return thanks to God for the favors which he has bestowed on any saint share in the merits of that saint. As the response Regnum Mundi was chanted at the words Quem Vidi, Quem Amavi, she remembered a person who was often troubled by an ardent desire to see God, and she said to our Lord, When wilt thou console her, that she may sing this response with joy? He replied, To see me, to love me, and to believe in me is a wish which none can entertain without fruit. Therefore, when any soul has this desire and cannot obtain it because of human frailty, my humanity at once advances to my divinity as a sister, undertaking to do this favor as if by right of inheritance, until that person has shaken off her carnal affections and is of herself able to undertake it and thereby to attain eternal joys. On another occasion, when the words Propter Amorum Domine Mei were chanted, the divine heart of our brother, Jesus, was so moved by these words that he exclaimed before his Father and the whole court of heaven, I am a debtor to my faithful servants for what they have now done for me. At the word Jesus, which signifies Savior, he acknowledged that he was their debtor for the fulfillment of the promises of salvation, which he had made to them from their infancy, the accomplishment of which was deferred by his paternal providence until the appointed time. At the word Christi, which signifies anointed, our Lord declared himself obliged to recompense their good desires. At the words Quem Vidi, Quem Amavi, he assured his Father and all the saints that they had rendered testimony to the Catholic faith by their good works. And at the words In Quem Crediti, Quem Delexi, he declared that they were united to him by their firm faith and perfect charity. Then St. Gertrude exclaimed, Alas, Lord, what wilt thou do for those who are not in choir? He replied, I have infused a devotion into all those who have been delighted with this responsory, and have beatified all who are in this convent, and those who have a similar devotion will receive a similar benefit. But, she inquired, if they can gain so much advantage by so little devotion, what harm can their negligence do them when they can repair it so easily? Our Lord answered, When an emperor bestows an estate and costly garments on one of his nobles, however little he may seem to value them, the emperor does not on that account deprive him of his liberality. So when I give great favors in return for a little devotion, those on whom I bestow them are obliged to profit by them, and if they fail to do so, they will lose the fruit thereof. But the ornament of my gratuitous goodness in bestowing them will always appear on them for my praise and glory. Then she inquired, But how can they who have never been favored with such revelations exercise themselves in such things? He answered, They are bound to practice and to imitate them, according to the extent of the lights they are favored with. I enlighten everyone in such matters to a certain degree, and therefore they are bound to be grateful and fulfill these obligations. On another occasion, when the same response was chanted, St. Gertrude saw a troop of demons who surrounded the religious, showing them the pomps and vanities of the world. But at the words Regnum Mundi, Contempsi, the demons fled in confusion. By this, she understood that when anyone condemns the world with great fervor and casts from them all the temptations of the evil one for the love of the Lord Jesus, that the devil immediately flies away, fearing to tempt them again when he has met with such vigorous resistance. Chapter 56, For the Feast of All Saints. Of the different orders of the Church Militant, how to honor the saints by thanksgivings, that we may participate in their merits. On the Feast of All Saints, St. Gertrude received some instructions on the mystery of the Blessed Trinity, and learned how the Trinity, which has neither commencement nor termination, and ever abounds in joy and beatitude, imparts eternal glory and blessedness to the saints. But human frailty is such that she could not explain what she beheld in the clear mirror of the divinity, so that she was obliged to explain it by images and comparisons. The King of Glory appeared to her as the father of a great family, who was entertaining all his neighbors, the princes and powers, so that the Church Militant and the Church Triumphant appeared to mingle together, and each took his place according to his merit. Those who lived holy lives in the married state were with the patriarchs. Those who merited to know the divine secrets were with the prophets. Those who labored for the instruction and edification of others were with the holy apostles, and so on. But Gertrude observed that those religious who served God in religious observance were joined to the choir of martyrs, and as these were specially adorned in each member of their body in which they had suffered for our Lord, so the religious had some special reward for each act of self-restraint which they had performed, whether in seeing, hearing, tasting, walking, or speaking. And they had the same merit as the martyrs, and received the same reward in heaven. For as they had no persecutors to shed their blood, they had offered themselves daily as a holocaust of sweetness to their God by their continued mortifications and restraints. At communion, as she prayed for the church, but felt a want of fervor, she prayed to our Lord to give her fervor, if her petitions were agreeable to him, and immediately she beheld a variety of colors, white, which indicated the purity of the virgins, violet, which symbolized confessors and religious, red, which typified the martyrs, and other colors according to the merits of the saints. Then, as she feared to approach our Lord because she was not adorned with any of these colors, she was inspired by the Holy Ghost, who teaches man wisdom, to return thanks to God for all those who had been elevated to the grace and state of virginity, beseeching him, by the love which made him to be born of a virgin for us, to preserve all in the church, to whom he had vouchsafed this favor, in most perfect purity of body and soul, for his own honor and glory, and immediately she beheld her soul adorned with the same shining whiteness as the souls of the virgins. She then returned thanks to God for the sanctity and perfection of the confessors and religious who had pleased him from the beginning of the world, beseeching him to bring all who were still militant in the church to a happy end, and immediately she beheld her soul adorned with violet. And as she continued to pray for the different states and orders in the church, her soul was adorned with their respective virtues. As she returned most fervent thanks to God for these favors, she beheld herself clothed in a golden amice. And standing thus, marvelously adorned before our Lord, he turned to the saints and exclaimed, behold her in garments of gold, clothed round about with varieties. Then he opened his arms to receive her, as she was no longer able to support the torrent of divine joys with which her soul was encompassed. As the time for communion approached, and her strength still failed her, she said to our Lord, O my beloved, how can I rise to go to thee, my Lord and my God, in this sacrament, when my strength has failed me, and I have not asked anyone to come to assist me? The Lord answered, What need have you of human aid when you are supported by my divine arm? I will give you strength to rise and approach me. Then she rose, sustained by divine grace, and although she had not been able to walk without assistance for a long time before, she went in the strength of the Lord to receive his body, and so became one spirit with him. Chapter 57, for the Feast of Saint Elizabeth. How pleasing it is to the saints that we should praise God on their account. A footnote. The Feast of Saint Elizabeth of Hungary is November 19th. This saint lived in the same century as Saint Gertrude. She was born in 1207, died in 1231, and was canonized in 1235. The ardent devotion which her sanctity had excited was at its highest point of fervor at the close of the century when Saint Gertrude wrote. On the feast of Saint Elizabeth, as the words Ia Mater Nos Agnosi were chanted, Gertrude saluted her very devoutly, beseeching her to remember her, though unworthy. Then Saint Elizabeth said to her, I know you in the mirror of eternal light, where the intention which you have in performing your actions shines with marvelous splendor. Saint Gertrude then inquired, Has my union with God during the office rendered it less pleasing to you, as I thought less of you in consequence? She replied, On the contrary, I accept it with infinite gratitude, and it is as much more pleasing to me as a concert of music would be to the lowing of oxen. Chapter 58, for the Feast of Saint Catherine. Of the patronage and merits of this saint. When our Lord explained the words, Non est inventus similis illi, to Saint Gertrude on the feast of Saint Augustine, he showed her the merits of many saints, and amongst others, those of the glorious Virgin Catherine, to whom she had been singularly devoted from her infancy. To satisfy her desires, our Lord showed her this saint, seated on a high throne, and in a state of great glory and magnificence, as if there were no queen in heaven whose glory equaled hers. The 50 philosophers, whom she had won by her wisdom and knowledge, appeared before her, and each held a golden scepter in his hand, with which he touched the robe of the saint, to indicate that their wisdom would have been useless had not this virgin taught them how to employ it for the honor and glory of their Creator. She observed also that our Lord bestowed the same caresses on this virgin as on Saint Agnes, and that he drew into his heart all that was said or done in her honor on earth, crowning her with it gloriously. Chapter 59, for the Dedication of a Church. Of patience under calumnies, of the oblation of our hearts in trouble, and of mutual charity. On the feast of the dedication of the church, as they chanted those words at matins, Regina Saba Venit, at the words Cum Gemis Virtutum, she said to God with great compunction, Alas, most kind Lord, how shall I come to thee, since I am not adorned with even the smallest garment of virtue? He replied, Do you not know that you are sometimes annoyed by the calumnies which are said of you? Alas, Lord, she answered, my sins in this matter are often a stumbling block to my neighbor. He replied, make each of these words which annoy you an ornament of virtue, and then come to me, and I will be moved by my goodness and receive you lovingly. The more you are blamed, the more my heart will incline towards you, since you thus become more like me. for I suffered contradictions continually. At the response, Benedict, our Lord introduced her into his heart, which he adorned as a house, that she might celebrate the dedication therein. But the exceeding delights which she found there so overcame her, that she said to our Lord, My Lord, if thou hadst permitted me to enter even where thy feet had once stood, it would have been more than enough for me. But what return shall I make to thee for the stupendous favor which thou hast now bestowed on me? He replied, As you give me what is most precious to you, namely your heart, I consider it only right to give you mine, to take your delight therein, for I am a God to you in all things, in virtue, life, and knowledge. Then she said, If my heart has pleased thee in anything, it has been by thy grace. He answered, Those whom I prevent with the sweetness of my benedictions, I reward with beatitude. And if anyone cooperates with my grace, according to the good pleasure of my heart, I conform myself also to the good pleasure of his heart. Our Lord then taught her the importance of mutual support and charity by a vision of precious stones joined together by plates of gold. And she learned that as the jewels were united together by gold, so we should assist and support each other by love and by a pure intention. Of charity towards our enemies, and of the joy of our Lord when a sinner is converted. On another occasion, on the vigil of the dedication, St. Gertrude presented herself before God, who is the King of Kings, as another Esther, richly adorned, to plead for her people, that is, for the Church, and she was received by the true Assyrius with such tender charity that he admitted her into the sanctuary of his most sweet heart, saying to her, Behold, I give you all the sweetness of my divine heart, that you may pour it forth abundantly on whomsoever you will. Then she poured forth abundant graces on some enemies who had molested the convent a short time before. And as soon as she had done this, she perceived that all those on whom even the least drop had fallen repented of their faults and were moved to true compunction and desire of penance. Then, as she prayed for another person and drew forth largely from the heart of Jesus for him, she perceived that the grace poured on him was immediately converted into gall. As she was much amazed thereat, our Lord gave her this instruction. When a man gives money to his friends, they are at liberty to purchase what they please with it. And of those who desire to purchase apples, some might prefer sour ones to sweet ones, as the former would keep longer. So it is with my elect. When I bestow my grace on them, it operates in them in the way which will benefit them most. For example, it is better for some persons to have troubles in this life than consolations. So when I pour out my grace upon them, it increases their trials and afflictions, by which they receive more and more grace, according to the good pleasure of my divine heart. And the consolation which they will enjoy hereafter is hidden from them now, that they may suffer more purely for my love. As the saint heard Matins at the response Vidi Civitatum, our Lord reminded her of certain words which she had often used to induce others to have more confidence in God. And he said to her, Know and be assured that I am always pleased when a soul repents of its faults and resolves by my grace not to commit them again. When he said this, the Son of God proceeded to the throne of his Father and chanted the response, Vidi Civitatum, with a loud and sonorous voice. She understood by this that the heart of Jesus is moved by the most ineffable tenderness when a soul repents for the wanderings, the idle words, or the unprofitable works by which it has withdrawn itself from its God, who by so many repeated favors prevents and follows him and earnestly begs to avoid a relapse for the future. And as often as he falls, as often does the Son of God chant the same words with ineffable joy. By this, she understood that whoever proposes with sincere compunction to reform his life and to devote himself to good works will indeed become the tabernacle of God, in which his divine majesty, who is blessed forevermore, will abide as a spouse with his beloved. God the Father then gave her his benediction, saying, Ecce novi facio omnia, behold, I make all things new, meaning thereby that by compunction and the divine benediction, united to the holy life of the Son of God, the faithful soul was perfectly renewed wherein soever she had been deficient. And hence, there is joy before the angels for every sinner who repents, more than for the 99 who need no repentance. For the infinite goodness of God delights in seeing a soul truly penitent. Our Lord added, When I lead a soul forth from this life by a marvelous way to the palaces of heaven, I sing this canticle for her amongst the other joys with which I console her. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, ascending from the earth, and by these words I renew in her soul all the joys which I and all the celestial court have had, whenever she was sincerely sorry for her falls. Chapter 60. For the Dedication of a Chapel. Of the Presence and Grace of God in Holy Places, and how the angels supply for our obligations of praising God. At the consecration of the church, as the response Vidi Civitatum was chanted at Matins, our Lord appeared to St. Gertrude, clothed in pontificals and enthroned near the altar, as if this was the place which he delighted to inhabit. As she beheld this, and considered how far our Lord was from the place where she prayed, she desired very ardently to draw him nearer to her. But he said, Since I fill heaven and earth, why can I not fill this house? Do you not know that it is better to watch the place where the arrow falls than that where the bow is bent? And know that I do not act most effectively where I appear corporally, but rather where my treasure is, and where the eye of my divinity finds pleasure. Then he touched the altar as if it had been near him, saying, Whoever seeks for my grace will find me in my favors, and whoever seeks my love faithfully will feel me in interior sweetness. By these words she understood the great difference between those who endeavor to obtain health of body and even of soul according to their own will, and those who commit themselves with full confidence to divine providence. As the words Domus Meus were repeated at Mass, our Lord touched the heart of Gertrude with his right hand and exclaimed, as if he was deeply moved, I will grant all you ask me. At the same time extending his hand to the center of the church, as if to indicate that he would always be there and ready to grant the favors which were asked of him. While the antiphon Fundamenta Templiaeus was chanted at the Benedictus during the week, angelic spirits appeared around the walls as if they'd been deputed there to guard the church and to repel the attacks of all enemies. Their golden wings touched each other and emitted a most exquisite melody. She observed also that each descended in turn from the top to the bottom to show with what vigilance they guarded their fellow citizens and preserve them from every evil. On the feast of the dedication, as St. Gertrude was confined to bed, she reflected on the special favor our Lord had granted her at Matins in the preceding year by telling her that the 9 choirs of angels had made thanksgiving for her, which her infirmity had prevented her from making herself. Then she saw a river of pure and sparkling water flowing through heaven, in which the glory of God shone as the rising sun shines red upon the ocean, and as its little waves broke and glittered, it appeared as if 1,000 suns were shining in heaven. This river signified the grace of devotion which she then enjoyed by the divine favor, and the little waves signified the thoughts by which she referred to God. Then the King of Glory dipped a chalice in this river, and when he had filled it, he gave it to all the saints to drink, and as each obtained thereby new delights, they broke forth in praises and thanksgivings for all the graces which God had conferred on this soul. She also saw a little tube which came forth from the bottom of the chalice to all those whom she had inclined to serve God with great fervor, or who had been commended to her prayers, and they received great consolation thereby. Then she said to our Lord, "What advantage will these persons gain by what I have seen and heard, when they have neither seen nor heard them?" He replied, "Is it not very advantageous for the head of a family to have his cellars well supplied with wine, although he does not constantly drink it? Is it not sufficient for him to be able to partake of it whenever he desires? Thus, when I pour forth graces in answer to the prayers of my elect, they do not immediately feel devotion, but I will allow them to experience this sweetness whenever I consider it expedient for them." Let us continue with the life and the revelations of Saint Gertrude on Side B.